Well, good evening, everybody. Well, if you're watching the live stream, at least good evening. Otherwise, you know, good morning, good middle of the night, whenever you listen to this. Hello, welcome to the campsite. This is the Wolverine Patrol checking in for the first time in a few weeks. Ron was out and about out of the city last weekend doing Pearl things for Pearl homies, and now he's back. How was Chicago, Ron?
Chicago was fun. Chicago, I got to see some folks. It was, I'll be honest, it was fairly uneventful because shit still, I mean, pretty much shut down.
Gotcha.
But I got to see some folks, got my voting out of the way. It was a really nice trip, and some good conversations were had with some folks. I'm really glad I took that weekend out there.
Well, we're glad that Donald Trump got your support when you voted. You know, that was really cool of you. So
he got my vote again. He almost didn't this time. Kept shooting himself in the foot. He was this close to not.
Right. But. And I'm sure we're all really excited to vote for him a third time after he wins.
Right.
So definitely, dude. Number one, Ohio's number one Trump podcast.
Right.
It's called the Troops Losers, wasn't it, Ron?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. So how's everyone else doing?
Exhausted.
Yeah, I bet.
Absolutely exhausted. Work's got me exhausted. Just seeing the highlights of last night and reading about it and everybody else's reactions was exhausting.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And depressing. So.
How are you doing, Jack? How's life in Dayton?
Well, I stayed until 2 in the morning last night writing a diatribe where I broke down piece by piece this mostly incoherent rant that my cousin posted about what a great job Trump did in the debate.
Oh.
And by the time I was done, I was like, oh, that was a super healthy way for me to process those feelings. Because they're totally going to read that and change their opinion.
Yeah, definitely, dude.
And that pretty much encapsulates what I've been doing with my free time for the past, like, 2 weeks.
Hell yeah. Rock and roll, baby.
I'm telling you, I live streamed the whole debate last night, and I've still been kind of like working through it, just kind of like editing a highlight reel to post. And
sure.
God damn, it's fucking like draining, dude.
Yeah, yeah. So I think, so Jack, you watched the whole thing?
Yeah, I did watch the whole thing.
You watched the whole thing. Oh, shit. And then now, John, did you watch any of it, or did you just watch the highlight reel today?
I watched the highlight reel last night as soon as it got posted on. I saw that clip, the Shut Up Man clip.
Shut Up Man. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was a moment for sure. It's actually funny. I think I meet the middle ground here. So two of y'all watched it in its entirety. One just was smart and just did the highlight reel.
Right.
I started watching it and was so sleepy because I had not gotten good sleep. That I'd say about an hour in, I was just tapped. And that was just the end of it. I was like, nope, can't do this anymore. I will catch the rest of it in highlights tomorrow. And that was it. So, yeah, it was an exhausting experience. And I guess we can just go around here and get everybody's initial thoughts on this. I guess, Ron, if you want to start, what the hell did we make of this?
As we were kind of saying in conversation before we started the stream and recording, Trump is obviously a 5-year-old. He behaves in such a way. You would watch him in the other debates and he's shitty and whatever. But last night was just a full-blown just 5-year-old screaming. And it was, I mean, it was surprising even for him. There's not much that guy can do to obviously, like, as far as that shit goes, to surprise people. I was really surprised just kind of how, like, outlandish he was. Like, he really, like, anytime Joe Biden would give his answer and then they'd move on to the next subject, Trump would be like, well, no, I have to respond. And it's like, no, you don't. This is how a debate works. You each get 2 minutes. Like, it really seemed like he didn't understand the fundamental, like, rules of a fucking debate. And he's been there before, obviously.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, he also went to college and we're not entirely sure he's literate. So, like,
yeah,
he's been there before, but that doesn't mean he remembers or gave enough of his shit to also remember how to do it.
I'm sorry. Can we point? Nobody has touched on this yet. One of my favorite moments of the night was Joe Biden saying, what happens if a woman comes in with a pre-existing condition to pregnancy? And nobody has mentioned that. And that got a very good chuckle out of me.
Pre-existing to pregnancy.
Yeah.
Beautiful. John, what were your thoughts just in highlight and post here?
Just really terrified. I mean, obviously, you know, his entire presidency, even beforehand when he was in his candidacy, he you know, his refused to deny white supremacy the entire time. And then last night, you know, him telling the Proud Boys to be on standby. I mean, that's not even a dog whistle at this point. That's him shouting at the back door to tell his dogs to come inside. I mean, that's,
yeah,
that's it. Like,
yeah,
they're going to be ready to fuck. Yeah, they are dogs. Yeah. They're going to be ready to fuck shit up here. You know, at his whim, he could come on the air tonight and say something and they would be ready to start fucking shit up. Doing what Jack was talking about maybe a couple episodes back, the A Night of Long Knives type of deal. Like, they'll go out and do it at his beckoning.
Sure, sure. Jack, I'm sure you've got many feelings. As you said, you wrote a very long diatribe. So what's the takeaway here? What do you think?
I think that, like, if you just watch the highlight reel, right, you don't quite get the sense of just how rambling and incoherent the entire thing was from start to finish.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when I first tuned in and they told us, like, the rules were going to be 2 minutes and then a 15-minute period of discussion, I was just like, oh, here we go. This is about to be a fucking shit show. Because and it was, you know, and I think that, like, if you take, like, those little clips out of context, it takes away from the overall experience, which was just that it was so difficult to follow. And that's what really made everything that Trump said that much more terrifying, because he was really able to, like, cleverly slip in these little statements and snippets in a way that Joe Biden just could not keep up with. And it just really showcased the way that, you know, even though Joe Biden tried to be like, oh, shut up, man. Oh, you guys see this clown? He won't stop talking. Like, yeah. It still felt like it. Trump ran over like a freight train.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, yeah.
He absolutely did. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, we frequently talk about on the left that, like, we don't debate fascism. We confront it. And it's been really interesting to see, I mean, really for the first time, what, like, out-and-out fascism in debate in the liberal sphere looks like. And what it looks like is pretty much exactly what everyone always said it would look like, which is you can lie, you know your base doesn't care, you can just be confusing and weird and off the wall, and your base will love it because it makes your opponent mad. Well, and nobody cares about the debate. I mean, at least nobody in that base cares one way or the other.
That's what I said. I kept saying this during my stream last night, and I was just repeating. I'm like, I'm sorry to sound like a broken record, but this is like, when you get down to the bare essentials of this, how much impact or difference is this debate going to have? Do you really think there's actual undecided voters in 2020 in this debate? It's just not how the political, like, playing field is. And I was like, I'm sure Biden will come in and he'll have all the numbers and the facts, Corona, da, da, da. And I'm sure, you know, for the most part, those will be true, but that doesn't matter. Because gotcha moments don't work on Trump and his supporters. You cannot take down this man with logic.
No, you absolutely can't.
So it was like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Like, see, like, what is accomplished here?
Yeah. Good question. Good fucking question, man.
Well, what's accomplished is just the spectacle of the fact that we had a debate, period.
Yeah.
You know, we got the two guys up there and we listened to them. You know, we're still observing the liberal norms that don't work anymore. You know, it's like the ceremony is there, but the substance is all gone.
Right. Right. It's because we've, you know, we're clearly living in, like, liberalism's ghost here, you know, in late capitalism. It's like, we so badly want to keep up the facade, even as, like, norms break down materially everywhere. And it's just like, it's a really strange and depressing spectacle. I don't really know what else to call it. It's, yeah, it's something.
But I will say, there were some moments in there when I go back to, like, I hate that Trump is president. I hate that he has power, because sometimes he kind of rocks. When he was sitting there with Biden, he was like, you used the word smart, you graduated at the end of your class. Don't ever use the word smart around me. And I do kind of love that a president on national television was like, shut up, you dumbass bitch. I hate that he's evil and has power, because that rocks.
Yeah. Oh, no, I know. And that's what's funny, too, is that what this really showcased, much like the primary debates when he was running in 2016, is just how good Trump is at bullying people.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm really, yeah. Like, people say, like, oh, you know, he's a failed businessman. He's not good at anything. He is very good at one thing. He is the best bully I've ever seen in my life. He knows how to break people down. He knows how to exploit insecurities. He knows how to, like, say things that, like, put doubt into the minds of people's supporters and undecided people. But, like, the other point I really wanted to touch on here and get your thoughts on is what was really alarming to me about Trump during this debate was the thing fascism always does and the thing we talked about with the QAnon episode and other things where it's like they say things that are absolutely true and absolutely divisive and absolutely maddening, but then they use them in the worst way possible and throw this insane left hook in at the last second to kind of, you know, make it applicable to their agenda. So what do you guys make of Trump doing that? It seemed to be like some of the best he's done that yet. And was there any moment in particular where he said something where you were like, well, yeah, he's right, unfortunately, but
oh, there were a few for
these reasons.
Yeah. So one thing I saw, yeah, and I should
said it out loud a couple of times.
Yeah, I want to elaborate. I said I watched the highlight reel. One thing I did watch was a very long clip of them, I want to say discussing, but it wasn't really a discussion on healthcare. And Trump says something. Trump says something to the effect of, "You have the same position as far left Bernie," and then all the leftists were like, "No, he doesn't."
He literally does not. No,
he literally does not have that. And then he goes in, and then he jabs at him, and he goes, "Who? You know, he almost beat you." And he's like, "Well, no, I beat him by a long shot." He's like, "Nope, not by much." And I think, you know, I think he is aware of the fact that Biden did get a very unfair advantage over Sanders in the primary because of all the shit that happened, went down with COVID. It was definitely not a legitimate election for a primary. So, I mean, he's completely aware of that. Everybody likes to talk about how Trump is a fucking idiot. And in some regards he is, but he is aware of these things.
He is. He's astutely aware of them, and or somebody around him is and gave him really good talking points, one or the other.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because the part of that that really stuck out to me is when you said, he said, yeah, you didn't beat him by much, which is true. And he also said, if he said, well, if Pocahontas, if Elizabeth Warren hadn't stayed in, Bernie would have beat you. He would have kicked your ass, basically, which is true. And a lot of people speculate that the DNC made Warren stay in. Because she's about to be in a tight Senate race again in a couple of years. And you know, I think that she stayed in to kneecap Bernie. And he knows that. And it really, it showed, frankly.
Yeah. I could say that there was a few last night when they talked about the whole, there's the Supreme Court, you know, RBG died, getting her in, And Trump kind of made this point. I think when they brought this up, I think Trump was correct logically and legally, and Biden was correct kind of morally. Because what Trump said was like, look, we had the election, and we have the Senate or the Congress, whatever, I forget which one they hold. And they're like, we have it, and we had the election, and I'm in office, and, you know, this is my term, and I'm in office, and I should be able to get this through on my term. And then the point that he brought up is the Democrats would have done the exact same thing if this was them in this situation. And I was like, they absolutely would. And then, obviously, they got into the crime bill and stuff, and it was like, yeah, you're not wrong. So yeah, there was a few for me.
For sure. Jack, were there any that really hit you?
I think when Trump came after Biden's sons, that's I was just up. Like, that is a low blow, but that is, he's not saying anything that's not true.
Oh, yeah. You know?
He said, you're one that is a crook. He's, you know, he's taking money from foreign governments. He's, you know, millions and millions of dollars. And Joe was just like, no, he didn't, man. Yeah. And then he was like, you know, your other son's a crack. Basically,
yeah,
and Trump, Joe, and I did appreciate Biden on that, and he was like, you know, my son is in recovery, like, you know, I support him and all that. That was a cool moment, but like, dude, he spiked on the Bidens because it's so easy to spike on the Bidens because they are just corrupt through and through,
hilariously
so
corrupt.
Much ammo.
comically, cartoonishly corrupt.
I said that at the beginning when they were like doing moderating. I called it. I was like, Biden is going to be on the defensive this whole night, more or less.
It's gonna have to be.
Yeah.
It's gonna have to be. Yeah, the stuff with his kids was really interesting because like the more I read into just like the evil vulturist kind of like capitalist work that Bo, you know, his late son Bo and Hunter did. Like that stuff's blood chilling. Like the way they, you know, I believe they were like private equity, I think, if I remember correctly. And then, yeah, all the stuff with foreign governments, all the corrupt bullshit. Like it's all true. Now it's hilarious because the Trump family is unabashedly, openly corrupt, as opposed to the Bidens who attempted to, you know, kind of cover it in political convention. So getting that from Trump's hilarious, but like, again, he was true. Absolutely. 100% correct. It rocked. Honestly, it kind of rocked.
That's a perfect encapsulation of the fact that this entire election is just, you know, open outright corruption or corruption, but with a smile.
Yeah.
With and a wink and a so nod well and a good, good
Sanders. I think I've said it before on the pod. I don't know if I have or not, but really, this wasn't me. This has been said by other people. There is an alternative universe where Donald Trump is the greatest roast comic of all time. Because at his core, that's what he is. Like, that's why he loves the rallies. That's why he's never stopped doing rallies this entire time. That's who he is. Like, he just came out, like you were saying, the president of the United States came out onto the debate stage and said for the entire world to see, he's like, yeah, but ain't your son a crackhead, though? And that's just like, that's insane. That's insane.
Yeah, it's a straight like Friars Club roast.
Yeah,
like,
look at my man. He's laughing because he knows.
Yeah.
Like, where the fuck is Jeff Ross?
Yeah.
Honestly, I would love to see Jeff Ross moderate a debate.
Oh, my God.
Everyone's talking about Joe Rogan. I'd love to see Jeff Ross moderate a Trump-Biden
debate. We have two more debates. If I do not get a single look at my man, he's laughing because he knows out of Trump, I'm out of politics forever.
You done? Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I need that. I need
you can have a full Def Jam comic moment.
I need Trump to go like full Def Jam with the debates.
Oh man. Good Lord.
I think it was interesting moderator and like just talk about the moderator. The fact that it was a Fox News host, right? And that was supposed to somehow be like their being impartial or whatever. And the Fox News host thought that he was going to be Trump and try and do like the classical neocon, like what we saw in 2016 with the never Trumpers.
Yeah.
And he just totally fucking aired. Like it just so bad. You cannot trip up Trump asking him these tough questions or being like, you avoided the question, sir. You just come off like an idiot.
You do.
Yeah.
And it's like, how many times do we have to explain that people who like Trump don't care that he's lying? And in fact, they think it's funny. They think it rocks that he makes you mad.
Yeah. That's almost the whole reason they're behind him.
Right. And it's like, to be fair, it's kind of fun to make libs mad.
Yeah. No, if there's one thing that the right has gotten correct, it is very fun to own the libs.
It's very funny. Yeah. They get really mad about stupid stuff. They get mad about, you know, significant stuff sometimes, too. I don't think they're all the worst people in the world or whatever. But, like, remember the Kennedy Rose Garden thing a few months ago?
Oh, yeah.
That, for me, was just peak, like, oh, man. The libs get so mad about something that doesn't matter at all.
Yeah.
One of my new favorite things about new favorite Facebook groups that I found is called Owning the Libs from the Left.
Oh yeah.
There's a bunch of good memes in it. But actually, like right before we started tonight, my shit lib cousin who I've talked about, and she's not gonna watch this, so I don't really give a shit, posted like the worst fucking take I've ever seen. And I had to save this. So this is a Twitter post and I'll just read it off. And it starts off with a typo. It says, let's simply this. Obviously, they're trying to say, let's simplify this. Mm-hmm. Trump voters are white supremacists.
Yeah.
Undecided voters are white supremacists who are afraid to say it out loud.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then the worst part of this is third-party voters are white supremacists and enablers.
Hmm.
Okay. Let's talk about that a little bit. So because
a lot of undecided voters are Well, first of all, a lot of like non-voters are people of color. So
yeah,
you're dipping into some slippery territory on that one. Undecided voters are white supremacists. They could just be weird at this point. I don't know.
They could just be dipshits.
Yeah, they could be dumb. Like, who knows? But like, I mean, I agree that like there probably aren't that many.
I don't think there are that many. I think that there are three types of voters that actually go to the polls. There are people who know that they're going to vote for one of the parties that are running, right?
Yeah.
There are people who are going to vote against whatever party they don't want to see. And then there are the people who literally just flip a coin and vote for whoever in the voting booth at the moment just because they think it's fucking funny.
Yep.
You know, and you cannot chase those people. Like, sorry, but like, what really blows my mind is the fact that Biden spent the whole night chasing after the people who were sitting at home mocking and laughing at him.
Yeah.
Like, there are no moderate Republican voters that that are going to come over to your side because Trump said, well, you want to give everybody universal health care. And you're like, no, I swear to God, I would never do that.
Yeah.
You know? And a couple of times, like, Trump just called him out. You don't have a plan to solve that. And Biden didn't have an answer to it.
I brought this up a couple times on the stream last night that there's always kind of this push from the Democrats. It's like, how do we pull independent or undecided or Republican voters over to us? But you never kind of see the vice versa of that. You never really see much of a push for the Republicans trying to pull over liberals or left or whatever. And I think it's because they don't have to. I think because the Republican voting base in America is strong and consistent enough that they don't need to.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, what they offer is reaction and reactionary policy and, you know, things that benefit the upper elite classes. So it's like, yeah, as long as you're reactionary or have an economic benefit in it. Yeah. That's a solid base for the most part.
Yeah.
It's a pretty unmovable base.
Not forget that Republicans have spent the last 30, 40 years gerrymandering the shit out of the electoral system to make it so that they, as a minority of voters, right? Because we have this like plurality system in America, Republicans voters are only like maybe like 20% of the population, if you want to be generous, like 25%. So we have this minority rule that is enabled by the structure of our electoral system.
Yep.
And the structure of the electoral system was always a favor reaction because that's literally what the Senate is. It is supposed to be the way that the large wealthy landowners can stop the legislation coming up from the House of Commons.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. It is our version of like the House of Lords or whatever. Is that what it is? Is that the other house?
It is. And the Republicans use it incredibly effectively to institute minority rule, you know?
Oh, yeah. Big time. I mean, I've never, as long as I lived, understood why the Senate decides judicial appointments. That should be the House of Representatives. That should be the one that's decided based on the population of this country where people actually live. But it's not. It's decided by the one
to have a voice in the judiciary. That's the whole point. Structurally, it was set up to make sure that the commoners did not have any say in the judiciary, because ultimately the judiciary is 9 elected elders that are hand selected to make sure that they are going to keep whoever's in power in power.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And the founding fathers were very forthright about that. Like, that is why we made it this way.
Yeah.
But Jack, what about the system of checks and balances that we learned about in elementary school?
Yeah, that works.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
that worked when the powers of capital.
Who are you putting a check on?
What? I didn't hear what you said.
I said, who check on? Who are you checking? You know, you're not checking the power of wealthy landowners. Checking the influence of workers.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and the Supreme Court has always done that, and now it's going to do it even more so because the Democrats just lost their their big harm reduction argument. So, oops.
Yeah.
You know, two other Supreme Court justices retired in 2008. I'm sorry, Jack, what was that?
I said Obamacare is going down, folks.
Oh.
That individual mandate's gone.
Yeah, oh, it's going down for real. It's going down for real. But also, like, I would just like to point out the two other liberal justices retired in 2008 or in 2010, I think, or 2009 and 2010, because they saw an opportunity in which the Democrats had the White House and the Senate, and they took it. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who was already in her 70s and had cancer twice, did not for some reason. So that's it's and then guess what? In 2010, the Republicans got back the Senate, and they've had it ever since. Oops. Big whoops.
Yep.
So that's it. That was a mess. That was a very bad call. You know, I think we should all be very frustrated with the Associate Justice about that.
Yeah.
All right,
I just want to point out two things real quick. One, we've got about 8 minutes left.
If we want to get any
closing thoughts. Also, two, Def Jam Trump is going to haunt me for the next few weeks, and I will be doing that in my head and entertaining myself very much with that.
Well done. Well done. That's really, if that's what you got out of the debate, then that's great.
Yeah.
All right, let's go around here. Jack, what are your closing thoughts?
I would have to say that more than anything, what unsettled me the most about the debate was the fact that Trump spent a lot of his airtime continuously calling into question the legitimacy of the election. And I think that what he's doing is he's building on the fact that already, because the tensions of capitalism are so high right now, the contradictions are so sharp.
Yep.
The state is in general losing its legitimacy on both sides. You know, most people are starting to think that maybe this isn't, you know, going to work out for too much longer. And so as the fascist, you know, insurgent, he is trying to make it so that if there is a situation where he has to make it so that his supporters, either the official brown shirt militias that are named or the ones that he told to be on standby, you know, the fascists in this country have taken a coordinated effort to infiltrate police offices and sheriff's offices around the country and fill their ranks with members of white supremacist groups. The FBI did a report on this like 2 years ago.
Oh yeah.
Very plainly expressing that there is infiltration of white supremacist politicians, sheriffs, cops at every level of government. And that infrastructure has been built for so long, and it has been built in order to take advantage of a situation like this, where there is a crisis and the legitimacy of the election can be called into question so that somebody can retain power regardless of what the people say. You know, and I still maintain, I think Trump's going to take the Electoral College. I really do. I don't know that it'll have to come to that, but just the fact that he is taking those steps to delegitimize the very process of the election, it just doesn't bode well for the future at all.
No, not at all. John, what are your closing thoughts?
I mean, it's hard to say what hasn't already been said on this. I mean, it's just really bleak and scary going forward with everything we've seen so far. I mean, I would encourage all of our listeners to be careful. Like I was just telling my wife today, like, because of what he said last night, because he's telling his Proud Boys to be on standby, it's exactly why I would not want to put any political signs in my yard, regardless of who the candidate is.
Yeah.
You put the target on your back. I mean, you have little kids and teenagers that are running by and they're like, fuck Trump. And they're going to rip the sign out of the yard and steal the sign. They don't care. They have like 27 more in their garage and they're going to put out a bigger one each time and throw out their Trump flags. The Biden supporters are going to go and tweet about it and make a big stink on Facebook. But then, you know, when something bad happens with the Proud Boys and the other brown shirts, that paints a big target on people.
Sure. Absolutely. Ron, closing thoughts?
I feel dumb for not realizing that Trump's move the entire night was just going to be to yell socialist at Biden. I feel dumb because I didn't realize that. And he started doing it. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. That's what he's just going to call him a socialist all night. So now that is, I mean, that's officially, I mean, we've reached that point. It is a fear buzzword. Especially his. I mean, it always obviously has been in America. That's a given. But like, I mean, this is like a whole other level for it now. So that is interesting. I don't think there was much. I don't think anything was accomplished by this debate other than spectacle. There's no real. I mean, at this point, there's no real undecided voters in this kind of thing. Not enough. Yeah. Nobody's pulling anything. It was just a whole. I don't. It's just their brain melting out of their ears. And the way that like Joe Biden kept like, not just like Joe Biden, talk to the moderator and answer his question. Don't like stare dead into the camera and like, you know, point your hand. Don't talk to me. Answer the question. You can just tell he's such a trained, like media trained shitbag, old school politician because of the way he just goes, America. And it's like, fuck off. So, yeah.
Absolutely. I guess in conclusion, you can't debate fascism. It's very scary, and it's coming, and it's going to be loud, and it's going to interrupt us a lot. So with that, I think that about does it for this week.
Def Jam Trump coming to streaming services soon.
Yep. And I think that's pretty much all I've got. We'll have some more episodes up soon. And thank you all for listening. Have a good one.
Bye.